we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. I've got bad news for you. If you have not done your Christmas shopping yet, you are down to the last week. You got more Christmas shopping days this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas than any other year. This is the biggest shopping season that there is. And so if you haven't done it, it is time to stop procrastinating. It is time to get serious about it. In fact, you may have already missed the mailing deadlines for some of those packages that you need to ship far, far away. So if, Christmas is slipping up on you, this is me just being a little bit of a reminder to you. It's time to get serious about that shopping thing if you're going to do it. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. This coming week, we are going to be preaching a message. The past 2 weeks, I preached the God Who Gives Part 1, the God Who Gives Part 2. And this coming Sunday, I'm going to be sharing a message, the God Who Gives Part 3. And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. When I did part 1, I made this statement. The devil will portray himself as a giver, but he's actually a thief. But God is a giver. He's always been a giver. He is currently a giver, and he's always going to be a giver. And so if you are looking for a relationship that is going to be a blessing to you, you want a relationship with God. You really, really do. There are a lot of people that I know who have not discovered the joy of giving, and it is a joy. It is a joy. Many people are on the receiving ends, but people who are on the receiving end that are never on the giving end, I'm telling you, you're going to find that there's a lot of unhappiness that goes along with that. And if you haven't broken through that barrier, I encourage you to discover the joy of giving today. And it might not involve money. It might involve something else. I was driving down the road here on one of these cool days a couple of weeks ago. And last Christmas, I got to spend that with my parents. They had sold their house. They were building another house. And so they were homeless. And so they came and stayed with us for several weeks. And so instead of exchanging gift cards, we had the opportunity to actually exchange gifts. And so when that happened, my mother went out and picked an outfit for me. She picked out some jeans, and she picked out a matching shirt, and she picked out a jacket. Well, on this particular day, that jacket was just the right jacket for me. It might not be the right jacket. It was a lightweight jacket. It wasn't substantial, but it is a pretty nice jacket. I really like this jacket, and I couldn't find it that morning, and I almost grabbed a thicker one, but then all of a sudden I found the other one, and I put this jacket on. And as I was driving into church, I saw this person. My guess would be that they were homeless. They had been caught unawares. The weather was very cold. They were wearing a short sleeve shirt. They had their arms tucked down inside their shirt to try and keep their arms warm. They were wearing shorts, and I drove by them, and all of a sudden, you know, there was this Holy Spirit tug and said, why don't you give them your jacket? And I pulled into a driveway. I turned around. I drove back, and I said, could you use a jacket? And the person said, oh, yes, sir. And so I checked, made sure that I didn't have anything in my pockets that I needed, like my cell phone or keys or anything like that. And I gave them my jacket, and I said, now I want you to understand something. This is a gift from my mother to me. And so I want you to take good care of this jacket, use it, stay warm. And I saw him walking around later that day, and he was still wearing the jacket. So you might have something. It might not involve money. It might involve time or whatever. And I just want to encourage you today to experience the joy of giving, and the fact that that person was going to stay warm that night means that jacket was fulfilling the purpose it was created for. It was key. It had a hood on it. And so, he was going to be in good shape. At least I think it had a hood. You don't need hoods down here very often, but today I want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions. They also operate with heating repairs. If you need anything like that, Bill Andriak, he can help you. If you are anywhere in the central part of the county, you can give him a call. This time of year, I mean, I remember the day of the Merritt Island Christmas parade, it was almost 80 degrees. And then a couple of days later, we were wearing jackets. I believe it was last year. If it wasn't then, it was the year before, where you needed the heater of a morning, the air conditioner of an afternoon. So if you need your unit worked on, give Bill Andriak a phone call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Again, he operates pretty much in the central part of the county here, but he has gone down to Melbourne, probably North Melbourne, to do some work down there. And so if he can be a blessing to you, give him a call. I want to take you today to the book of 1 John. This is not the Gospel of John. This is the book right after 2 Peter. I want to take you to chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse number 15 today. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. We're talking about the will of God. We'll be talking about the will of God probably here for the next several broadcasts. We don't have too much more to go before we're done with this. But, you know, like I said here on the program, I want to give you a thorough teaching on these things. I'm not so concerned about whether I finish it on a Friday or finish it on the end of the month or anything. I just want to make sure that the Word of God gets presented to you, and everybody needs to know the will of God for their life. So today, we're going to talk about the benefit of doing the will of God. Verse number 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You see, the world is constantly trying to suck us back into operating the way that the world system does. If you look in Revelation, you will see that there's reference to Babylon. I believe that's talking about the world system that has been operating pretty much since the Babylonian kingdom had been operating. It's about you know, survival of the fittest. It's about the greed of this world. It's about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. If that is how you are living, you are going to miss out on the highest quality of life. There are supposed to be godly desires instead of ungodly desires. There's supposed to be something that is driving us that has an eternal purpose rather than a temporal purpose. The word lust is a word that describes the intensity of the cravings that a person has. And so we, you know, in some cases, when you're talking about this passage here, you would use the word lust. But when you are talking about godly desires, you wouldn't necessarily use that same vernacular in English, but it uses the same word. You and I are supposed to have intense desires for the things of God. So many times you can see where your heart is at by the longings that you are having, the desires that you have, the cravings. When you evaluate those cravings, do they indicate that you have a love for the Father, or is it more indicative of the love that you have for this world? I'm getting ready to make a missions trip to Fiji. I'm not going because of the beaches of Fiji. I'm not going because of the resorts. I'm not going for the weather. It's actually the hot time of year there. I really enjoyed this time of the year. I'm going because I have a longing to see souls saved. It's not a time frame that is convenient. I'm not here complaining. I'm just here telling you that the cravings that I have to see people saved is more important to me than some of the temporal desires that might operate before. And in fact, my spirit said yes before my flesh was fully on board with it. Many times we try to operate in the flesh, and we pray that we can compel the spirit to go along with our desires, and that's flipping the script. So here he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. What happens is, if there is something that we become emotionally attached to, then all of a sudden we can be manipulated and we can be controlled. That's why people will try and get you emotionally invested in a house purchase, or in an automobile purchase, or jewelry not any of that ever happens during Christmas time or anything like that. If they can get you emotionally attached, then you say, you know what? I've got to have this. I've got to have it. And then at that point in time, from some of the marketing people, that I've heard, you know, all of a sudden then the financing, well, there's been a change in the financing, or there's been some added fees, or things like that. And then the next thing you know, your emotions are overriding everything else. And then you find yourself in a predicament. This world is passing away. We have been fortunate that, America has been stable for, you know, a little over 200 years now, going on 250 years, not in too distant future. We're over 240 currently. Before that, you know, we were a British colony. But we live in a pretty stable environment, but it's still passing away. The things that people fall in love with today will be obsolete in the days to come. You know, the craziest thing that I heard was, as far as just really made me scratch my head, is people were ridiculing because they were wearing a fashion designer's clothing that was last year's model. It wasn't this year's model. That's, I mean, you've really got to be full of yourself to be able to do that, that you've got to have this year's model. We've got to clean out the closet. Everything's got to be this year's, the latest, the greatest, the shiniest, the brightest, the biggest, the richest, all of that sort of stuff. God says, don't get tangled up in that, because none of that can compare with the blessings that God has in store for heaven. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Our drive, our desires should be for the Father and for his will. I was doing some research for that, The Love of God Part 1, and there was hundreds of pages of scripture that I was trying to boil down into these three messages. And this was just a benefit just that God gives. And he talked about the rivers. Let's see if I can remember this. The rivers of his pleasure. I don't know about you, but that's something that I long for. The rivers of his pleasure. That's fascinating. And God gives us access to that, but the love of this world doesn't. The love of the world is a fraud. It is a bait and switch technique. It promises you that if you have this, that you are going to be rich, you're going to be powerful, you're going to be influential, you're going to be accepted, all of that. It's all a lie. If you just have this, you're going to be cool. You're going to be part of the in crowd. Lie. If you squander your resources the way that the prodigal son did, then you're going to be famous. You're going to be popular until your money's gone. And then you will discover it was never about you. It was about them having access to your resources. The world dangles nice, shiny carrots in front of people, and as soon as the people go to bite it, it's snatched out of the way. It is a bait and switch. It promises great happiness, and it brings great misery. So don't fall for the love of the world when it's going to deprive you of the love of the Father. It says, for all that is in the world, everything is boiled down to these three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, I didn't do these in the same order, and the boastful pride of life. So let me do it in order, New King James Version style. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, I think that the eye is the thing that is easily distracted first. If we see something, we're going to want it. If you go start looking for new cars, you're going to soon have 84 or 96 convenient monthly payments. The lust of the eyes, that's why they position things the way that they do retail-wise. That's why there's so much money spent on marketing, is they're trying to get the eye gate to fixate on that, to get your vision driven by the things that you see, and then it becomes a longing of the heart, the lust of the flesh. And I will tell you, the flesh still wars against the spirit. It's a never ending battle. The flesh warring against the spirit, and your flesh wants to try and place demands on you and say, you've got to listen to the cravings that my flesh has. And I want you to understand that this world, insults believers who operate in restraint. They minimize the fact that the Holy Spirit can give dominion and lordship over the lust of the flesh. But I'm here to tell you God can do it. And I will also tell you this, it is not just young people who fall prey to the lust of the flesh. If that was the case, we would not see so many cases of adultery. We would not see so many people having affairs and all sorts of sexual things. And it's not just a sexual thing. It could be food. There's a lot of different areas that the lust of the flesh operates in. And then it says in the pride of life, where people just want others to see how important they are and that they're the top dog and all of that sort of stuff. But it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. So all of those things that we've talked about, all of those are fleeting. And then verse number 17 has this huge conjunction that says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You know what? Money does not have a grip on me. The will of God does. The will of God does. People have asked me through the years, how long have you been there? How long are you going to stay at Merit Assembly of God? I said, you would have to ask my commander in chief. Now, I'm very happy here. My wife and I love it here. We were not here because of family. We didn't even know about Brevard County, Florida. When we had been to Florida before, we had been to Daytona Beach. And I'd been here in 1977, I believe it was. We went to St. Petersburg from Daytona, and then we went home. We went to Disney World. But I don't think we ever made it to Brevard County. And so when God directed us here, we had no contacts. We just knew that we had said yes to the will of God. And I will tell you this, that doing the will of God, it may not always be easy, but it is always worth it. It is not just pastors who do the will of God. It is a universal promise that men and women and boys and girls who have embraced the will of God for their life, they find themselves abiding forever, enduring forever. And I want to tell you, sometimes the will of God is not about relocating. Sometimes it is, you know what? I have given you this field. I have given it to you, and I want you occupying this till I come. I think his name was Shema, who had been entrusted with a field of lentils. And some Philistines came to take it. And he said, you got to understand, you didn't give me this field, and I'm not going to let you take it away. And he did battle, and he overcame the enemy because God had given him that. You see, in Jewish culture, they realized that God had given them the land. And when it had been parceled out to them, They appreciated it. They said, look, this is from my heavenly Father. This is my covenant inheritance. And so when King Ahab went to Naboth and said, give me your vineyard and I'll give you a better vineyard. And Naboth said, no. He said, this was given to me by God. And he said, you know what? I'm going to abide right here. Some people are always chasing bigger and better and shinier. I went to a district council one year, and our assistant general superintendent was preaching. He had a different position at that point in time. And he said, look, I'm from Arkansas. And he was born in Texas, but he was ministering in Arkansas before he became assistant superintendent. And he said, and here's what I learned in Arkansas, that the grass is always greener over the septic tank. And you know, sometimes the things that look like they're better are really something that's appealing to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the boastful pride of life. I do believe that if a church is looking for a pastor, that instead of dangling out the big salary package or whatever, I think that the thing that would be more enticing is, pastor, we got 50 people that every day they're praying for a move of the Holy Spirit. I think that's the, you know, I served a pastor one time and he said this, and it has to do with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He says, look, if you can be bought, you can be sold. If you can be lured with things that appeal to the flesh because they're bigger and better and shinier, when the luster wears off, you can be severed just as quickly as you were imported. But I will tell you this, people who have embraced doing the will of God, they realize that the moments that we have, even the life that we have, whether it's 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years, that's all fleeting. But abiding with God is forever. You see, a lot of people want somebody to tell them, this is the will of God for you. What I will tell you is having God develop in you a heart to do his will, not just in spiritual matters, but in all matters. Whether it's something as simple as giving away a jacket or a purse or a piece of jewelry, that when you say, God, everything I have belongs to you, and if you want me to have it, I thank you for it. If you want me to give it away, I will give it away. But I know this, I don't want anything coming in, running interference in my relationship with doing your will. Doing the will of God is a great, great pleasure. So we're off and running here. This is the last full week before Christmas. And I pray that you would be praying for the people of Fiji, that when I go there, that God will use me to impart a spiritual gift to them. I greatly appreciate your prayers. And I do pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
This is love. This is love.